Do you guys ever wonder if those are stock photos? They're real. Like, I know the people in them. So there you go. Just, you know, little tidbit. Hi. That was just random. Sorry, that just was in my head. It is good to be with you today. And I got to say, this is cool. Like, I don't know who's building it, but I like the wall. I like visual. Bulletin boards out there. Okay, so as Michael said, we are in Why Not Us today. So last week was Why Not Here? I don't know about you, but when I hear the stories of Africa and all this stuff going on in India and China, it's like, come on, there's revival everywhere. So why not here? And so that's what I think you guys talked about last week. So we talked about last week. It's that whole idea of looking at Europe in its post-Christian world and thinking we don't want to be that. And the hard time they're having in Europe bringing back the Christian world. And so let's not let that happen here, right? So why not here? And because we're saying that, then we have to then next say, then why not us? So the objective of today is pretty clear, right? We want to talk about what can we do then to fulfill the us part. So what can you as faith do to say, why not us? Why not here in this place? We all need Christian community. Everybody you see, from when you're at Big B to Starbucks to Mr. Burger, right? Mr. Burger's pretty great. But just the whole idea of why not? Everyone needs this community. Everyone needs to be a part of it. But that calls on something from us then. So we're going to spend our time in Ephesians this morning and looking and starting in a couple of verses in chapter 5, but most of our time will be in chapter 2. So we're just going to dive right in. Except for I have to turn the page. Okay. Right in verse 25. It's a verse, maybe for those of you who are people of the scripture, this will sound familiar. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Okay, look at those words for a minute. Do they sound like the church? Holy, blameless, without wrinkles. I mean, no, and I'm not talking about people's wrinkles. I could see some people going, what is she saying about us? No, I'm not. But think of our current church today and how messy it is and how complicated it's becoming. And, I mean, throughout history, the church has done some stuff that doesn't look too holy. They haven't been blameless. And yet, Paul is saying Christ loves the church anyway. And he sees it as holy. He loves the church. He sees it as his bride. On Saturday, I was at a wedding. And you know that moment when the groom turns and he sees his bride and his face? Oh, so precious. That's Jesus when he sees us. He sees his bride, beautiful, coming toward him. There's an intimacy in this verse that I think we miss sometimes. And yes, this is the part of Ephesians 5 where it's husbands and wives, but Christ loves the church. And because of that amazing element, then we are called to share that. And that's huge. And that's hard. And so as we walk through today, why not us is actually kind of hard because we want it to be, but yet it asks something of us. And when you think about what Paul says about the church and what Jesus says about gathering together, the church is plan A, and that's the only plan. Jesus said, on this I'm going to build, and this is what's going to go out into the world. So as a church, that's our job. That's hard. And in this verse, in the very last three words, holy. Oh, that's a hard word. Holy, set apart. Set apart for more. And then blameless. Like, that's only because of Jesus, right? So as we look at this, My team at church has been really thinking about how do we then help people walk in the set-apart world? And then how do you do that in a whole kind of way? So as Michael said, my role at Cornerstone is Senior Director of Discipleship. Well, there's a mouthful, right? I think they were just trying to figure out what to call me. But part of what we get to do as a team, so I'm on a team with four other people, is we get to dream about how can we help people become disciples and how do we help those disciples grow. It's incredible conversation because it's so complicated. Everyone's in different places and kind of want different things and have different tastes, and yet we know that God sees us as holy and we need to help people understand that. So one of the things that we're really hung up on is how much our Western thought is linear. So first you do this, then you do this, then you do this. And this message is going to be a little bit like that this morning. But it's so not linear when we're walking with the Lord. We're going to circle back to some stuff, and we're going to hit a crisis of faith, and we might even hit a roadblock or two, and we're going to find ourselves going back to what we thought we already knew about God, but we have to learn again. So we've learned that it's the intersection when our lives wholly reflect Christ that we do our best growth. And so as a team, we've been trying to figure out how then do we help people look at it in a wholeness kind of way. Not just one thing or another, but engaging your whole selves in love and in mission and in sharing. Because when we follow Christ, right, Jesus says it's our mind, strength, soul, all of it, and then we need to learn to love others as ourselves. So this requires our head, our heart, our hands, and our feet. So for us, it looks like this. But try to think of that more like a Venn diagram, okay, that all those pieces overlap each other. We can't just do just one. So when we look at the head, pretty simple, all those things we're learning about God and from God on our own, whether we're learning them together here or we're actually learning them in our own as we study Scripture ourselves. And then our heart. That's that loving piece, learning how to love God and love other people and in turn love ourselves, which sometimes is the hardest one for us to do. And then hands. That one might be obvious. It's the sharing and the giving and the serving element of our faith, that we don't just keep it to ourselves, but we actually then turn use our feet to go out and do the mission of God and actually share his good news at Big Apple Bagel or Mr. Burger or wherever your grocery store is, right? Like living it out on mission. So in your whole selves, not just here, not just at home, but wherever you go. So we've been processing this. Like, so how do you equip people to do this? And then how do you actually do it? Because we don't live in everybody's home. So as a church, what are you asking? How are you walking in the wholeness of God's love? And how are you letting that affect your heart? Like, what are you learning right now? And how are you loving others and yourself? And how are you showing God love? Or what are you doing to serve? How are you giving of your time and your talent and your treasure? Do you love well? Do you actually, wherever you go, remember that Jesus is with you and there are people around you who don't know him? Like, how do we do this? So that's been the process of us. But as we've done this, we've tried to realize that to live that out requires something in our day-to-day lives. So we're going to go back to Ephesians, but this time into chapter 2. And we're going to take this apart a little bit into three elements. Now remember, I'm going to go in order, but they're not necessarily linear. So let your mind wrestle with that just a little bit. All right, so verse 19 in chapter 2 says this. You are, so Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Remember, he's talking to Gentiles here. So they were foreigners and strangers. He says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. So he's telling those who have been on the outside that they are no longer on the outside, but they are fellow citizens, members of God's household. So he's telling them that they belong. All right, so belonging. Do you realize how critical this word is in our world today? Like, it's everywhere, and I don't know if it's from COVID or whatever, but there is a deep sense of wanting to belong. And it's not fitting in. I want to be clear about that. Fitting in is when we change ourselves to act like other people so that we fit into what they think of us. But belonging is saying, I get to be fully me right here, and I'm okay, and I belong. And honestly, it's an inner thing, but that's a whole different message. But I think that you can see it when you look at kids growing up, right? In high school, how many times do you see kids trying to fit in? Because they don't know quite who they are yet, so they're trying out different groups to figure out which one is them. But then when you see a college kid, they're like, nope, this is me, take it or leave it. Because they've grown up to realize a little bit more of who they are. But sadly, in so many groups, including the church, people from the outside look in and think we're like a blender. And that we put everybody in it and make a smoothie so that we're all the same. But that is so not the church, right? I mean, even if you look around yourselves, you're all your own unique people. We are a tossed salad, people. We all bring our own flavor and texture, and all of that together tastes great. And we wouldn't want it all to taste the same. That would be weird. We want the flavor and texture of unique people, but we're all in the same bowl, and we can play nice together. But how many people on the outside actually see that happening within our capital C church? But belonging is foundational. Even for the toddler, they want to know that they can belong at the toy table. And they kind of look around to see if everyone else will share with them. And we all see it with teenagers and the way that they compromise in order to find their place. And we wish they wouldn't. But it's all a part of that process. And then finally, as adults, hopefully, we can live into who we are. But you know what? It doesn't always work that way. So as a church, we live in a culture where all these people around you in this neighborhood are trying to find out where do they fit and where do they belong and where can they be safe enough to find out what they're wondering. Where are they safe enough to ask questions? Where are they safe enough to come and sit among and feel like it's okay to be here? That's the belonging. And what if every church could do that? What if every single church, no matter who walked in the door, that person felt safe, welcomed, they could be a part of something? Oh, that would be amazing. But it's hard. Because we want to be together, and sometimes having someone from the outside comes in feels like it disrupts that a little bit. Because I really want to talk to them. They're my friend, and oh, but you're new, and it's all of those things. So if you're new with us today, I mean, I wouldn't know. I'm not always here. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. We hope you feel like this is a safe place to belong. So it goes on in Ephesians to say this. Earlier in chapter 2, actually. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Okay, so if we're a welcoming place, we need to remember that Christ actually loves everyone no matter what. And we're supposed to be the reflection of that. So even he made us alive even when we were sinful, right? He came to us and by grace offered himself for us. So he's not afraid of unbelievers. He says, come on in. Let's show you who we are. Let's love you in a way that shows you Jesus. So how do you do that? Because that's kind of hard. But I got to tell you, it's all about the mindset. It's all about how you think about the people in the room. How you bring yourself to notice who else is here and who else is out there. To extend a hand versus point them out. To say, let's get to know you and take a little interest in time and getting connected to you because we want to help you know who we know. But that requires some vulnerability. Vulnerability is not a fun word for some people. It means I actually have to share myself. And I don't necessarily like to do that. But when we're willing to just step out and meet someone different, it matters. I can remember the very first kindergarten concert for my daughter. She was a part of a school that had merged with another school. And so my son, who was older in elementary, it was great. He was fine. But the younger grades, you know, they weren't sure about this whole new process. So go to this kindergarten concert. And it was during the day, as most kindergarten concerts are. So I had to go. My husband had to work. So I head in alone. And I didn't really think much of it. I was excited to see her do her little thing. But as soon as I walked into the school, I noticed all the other moms chatting in their little circles. And it was really disconcerting because even though I smiled, no one welcomed me. All these moms getting ready to watch our kids. It felt really weird to be that person that stepped in. I didn't go to church with any of them. They were from the first school. I was from the merged school. And I just thought, wow. Not one of you is welcoming me. It was a good lesson for me. And the sad thing is, it was a Christian school. I kind of expected more. It was really disappointing. But it taught me a lesson of, am I doing that for people who walk into my world? So whether you're a longtime follower of Jesus or have zero trust in God this morning, we want you, I would assume, as a faith community, we want you to know you can belong here. That you are welcome to be a part of what we're trying to do in this community, what we're trying to do for Jesus. Because life is hard, and we need a community around us to walk with us in it and support us. And in that, we want to know we fit. Well, fit isn't the right word, belong somewhere. And as a part of that then, not only do people want to know they belong, but then as a process, right, our hope is that they would come to believe, that they would choose who Jesus is in their lives because they have felt safe enough to do so. And that's where we got to remember. Like, there are going to be people who have some doubts and skepticism, and they wonder, is this true? And there's so many things out there they can Google to tell them that it's true when it's not. So belonging creates a safe environment so people can ask the hard questions to learn who Jesus is. If we go back to chapter 2, verses 19 and 20 that I started with, but add on a few, here's 19, which we read earlier. You are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So first, you're members, then built on the foundation of the teachings of God from the apostles. So think about that. You have one to connect to the next. We're all members, welcomed, and in that belonging, we can learn to believe. And I think that's so hard sometimes for us because we want people to believe that we forget that they need this part first, at least in our current world today. I served in student ministry for a long time. I love high school ministry. Middle schoolers they're good too. They are. But we knew that for students, they had to know that they belonged with us, that they were safe. And as soon as they knew they were safe and loved, their hearts opened up to hear what we had to say about anything, but mostly about Jesus. But it took the belonging first. And so as a team, we would work each week to help those kids feel safe and loved and heard so that in return, they would hear us. So today, I work with big people. It's a little different. But their hearts are the same. No matter how old we are, we want to know that we belong somewhere and that we're safe. So no matter how old a friend might be, if they don't know Jesus, they need to know they're safe first. But then you get to share who Jesus is with them and why your heart is open to sharing that. I think it's amazing that we can bring so many different things together and unite under Christ. That we can allow so many people to our table and then help show them what we believe. It continues in Ephesians 4 to say this, something else you probably have heard, right? We are part of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, right? So when we say you can belong at the table and you belong here, then we want to show them that, yes, it's possible to be one in Christ as we believe together. But one isn't necessarily easy either, right? Think about our world today and how divided we are. And Christians are divided. We all have different things we think about, all like, well, disaffiliation is one, right? Maybe there's different opinions within this room about that. Or baptism, or communion, or the second coming, or women in ministry, or how worship should be done. Like, we all have our opinions. And none of them are exactly right, probably, but within that there is truth. And Paul says the church can be one. No matter how we disagree, no matter how we think about different things, when we unify under Jesus, that's where the magic is. That's where the Spirit says, yes, let's go. So right now it's art prize. Have anybody gone down yet? Me neither. I mean, it just started. But at our Heritage Hill campus, we have a lot of art to be a part of our community and house art prize. So if you ever want to go down to the Heritage Hill campus, there's art all over. So let's take a piece, look at one piece of art. Do we have a picture? Okay. So pretty, isn't it? So we all know what it is. It's a lighthouse. But yet each of us look at that with a little different eye. Some of you are drawn to the sky. Some of you are drawn to the fact that the colors and how bright they are. Some of you are trying to figure out where this lighthouse exists. Like, right, we all take our different elements in it because we all bring ourselves to the table, but it's still the same picture. It's the same with us in faith. We're all going to look at things a little bit different and notice different things about what we think of Jesus or God or how we interpret a certain verse or how we walk in it, but it's still the same creator, just like the creator of this picture. It's one artist, but we all bring something different when we view it. We have one creator. And even if we have some different opinions on how we look at certain pieces of it, that shouldn't divide us. It should enhance us. Because when I hear what you see in that picture, and I share what I see in that picture, that broadens how I see the picture. And it should be that way with our faith as well. You know, Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So that's why we need to belong, help people belong, so that our love in helping them belong will then share who Jesus is. And as we walk down this road of helping people belong and helping people believe, we come to this one. The church should be a place for people to become. So what do we mean by that? Well, become more like Christ, become mature followers, whatever that hears for you. There's a cultural shift in the church, right? Belong so that they can believe, so that they can grow and become more like Christ. But do you guys remember, I remember, when believe came first. And you had to believe in order to be a part of the church. And then the next word was behave. Oh, see, you know. Because once you learned how to behave, then you could belong. Think about that. We wanted people's lives to change before we would let them be a part of the community. But when you think about it, how we live our lives is that ongoing process of becoming that continues and continues and continues. So we never really reach it. So if I have to reach something in a becoming way, in a behavioral way, before I belong, I may never get here. So today, we want to shift that. We want to say, you can belong. And let us help you understand who Jesus is. And once you know him, then let's help you become a mature follower of Jesus. And that should affect your behavior. Because you're going to want to live in a way that reflects Jesus. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians 2 and read a few more in connection to what we're looking at today. So, verse 19. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Whew. So belong, believe, and then become the dwelling in which God lives. That's so awesome. I think sometimes we miss the power of maturity in faith. Some of you in this room have walked with the Lord a long time, and you have a maturity of faith that young people would envy. Not in a bad way, but in a, I want to be that kind of way. Like, what's possible for people who have walked with the Lord long enough to trust him no matter what? That's something students don't understand and want to know. But Jesus came to offer forgiveness so that the whole building could be joined together, so that it would rise up. That's just an amazing thought. So Jesus prayed that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So let's go back to wholeness. So let's take all of this and go back to the idea of wholeness. So we have to be careful as we walk with the Lord. We can't be all about learning and then not giving. We can't be all about belonging and never helping people actually become. Like, we have to put it together. So if you were to think about it, how are you doing in the world of wholeness? This is something that my team and I ask ourselves a lot in the discipleship process. Because I love to learn. I love to learn. I love to take in information, especially scripture, and figure it out. But I have to be careful, otherwise I might look like this. All about my head. But I have a teeny tiny little heart and little baby hands because I'm not using them, right? It's all about knowledge. And I love to worship. But if all I do is love people well, then I might look like this. So I have really great hands because I love to serve people, and I have really big feet because I love to be on mission because my heart is so big, but my head could be really tiny. So I have to be careful, right? Or, okay, I have one more. I also love to go on mission trips. I love to go out and share Jesus. But if that's really all it's about, then I might look like this. Look at how little my feet are again, and my little heart. She looks kind of frustrated. Because it's about our whole selves. As we belong and as we believe, we're going to kind of be disproportionate for a bit in our growth, right? Like, think of a second grader or third grader. They're usually missing teeth, and the teeth that they do have are too big for their face, right? Because they haven't grown into their teeth size yet. Or I was thinking of a seventh grade boy who is all height and no coordination. Right? Because their bodies have grown, but their abilities haven't quite caught up. It's the same with our spiritual walk. As we mature in our faith, we're going to even out, but only if we're aware of it. So if all we do is learn but never serve, we're going to have teeny tiny hands. And if all we do is share the gospel, but we never really take it in to learn more about who Jesus is, then we're going to have big feet and small heads. When Jesus was ready to leave his disciples, he said, go into the world, teaching, baptizing, sharing who I am, and I will be with you always. That's the mission, pretty straight up. But to go and teach and baptize and share his love, we need to be growing in all of those areas ourselves. As you guys talked about last week, the church in America needs some help, the capital C church. But probably you can think of ways that your own faith community could use some help. Whether it's in a serving area, whether it's in a learning area, whether it's in a loving area, whatever it is, what is your role to help people belong and believe and continue to become as a part of your faith community? What is your role in that? We all have a piece of it. So what is yours, and what are you doing to help people become mature healthy followers of Jesus, because mature, healthy followers of Jesus will automatically tell people about him, will automatically love well, and will automatically welcome those who may seem different than themselves. But it takes a maturity to do that. So as you think about your part in this church and what it's doing in the world, which one of these fits you now? And which one do you know you need to work on? Didn't expect me to challenge you that way today, did you? But you guys, your community needs you. Our city needs us to step out and show who Jesus really is in a world that would like to tell them he's someone else. But that's on us. So why not us? Why not here? Jesus is here. So what can we do about it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these words are so easy to say. Belong, believe, become, they rhyme. But Lord, you know actually how hard it is for us to extend out vulnerability to other people and let ourselves be open. You know how hard it can be to share our faith, worried that someone might reject it. And you know the work it takes to become, to actually grow in our faith and in maturity, which usually happens out of hardship. So Lord, I just ask that you would keep your hand upon this faith community, that you would keep your hand upon all of the churches in Grand Rapids, that as people come together this morning to learn about you, may that not be the end of it, but may they not be able to help but share who you are as they go out into their world. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance to look at Paul's letter in a different way. In your name, amen.